Here we go. All right, open your boxes. 1, 2, 3. You get a car! You get a car! You get a car! Everybody gets a car!
The fact that that has become sort of a meme but...
I didn't.
It's the punchline of so many jokes. You get a car! You get a car! That's just part of our cultural narrative now. And it's a sign of how important a piece Oprah Winfrey has been for 25 years. Today, of course, is her last show. It's been a kind of a background music is what the way I've been described it. She's built a multi-billion dollar media empire. She's one of only two African Americans ever to appear on the Forbes billionaire list, the only black woman ever to appear there. Many would say that her success has actually changed the nation in a number of ways. Here's what some of our listeners said when we asked about her impact. John in Briar Park, New York texts, "Even when I might not approve a topic or agreed with the show's message, when I did watch Oprah, she always made me think long after the credits rolled." And a listener in Oklahoma City writes, No impact at all. Not a fan, never have been. Talk about self-centered. Look how great I am. I can save the world gibberish. Joining us now to talk about the conflicted and complicated legacy of Oprah, Hilton Owls, a staff writer for The New Yorker. So, Hilton, let's first deal with her impact on women, and particularly black women, because you could say that she's a role model for a generation on the other side, because she's the only woman that's still to this day ever appeared on Forbes' list. Maybe she's a fluke.
I don't think she's a fluke so much as she's setting a precedent. One of the brilliant things I think about Oprah Winfrey and her ascendancy has been her acknowledging from the first that she was and that she wanted to be a trailblazer for women of color and indeed women in general. I don't think that she's ever been mistaken or unclear about what her goal has been, which is to serve as a kind of teacher for what's possible for women in America and indeed eventually the world.
And possibly her identification with all women, regardless of what their race is perhaps part of a measure of her success.
Yes. I mean, once you become powerful enough, race starts to recede. And power sort of takes its place. And I think that race has always been part of what Winfrey was talking about, and she indicated that a lot through direct statement, saying, talking about her body, her hair, her relationship to her family, and so on. But after a while, those issues and stories became secondary to her, not her will to power so much as her belief that power was accessible through hard work and diligence, particularly for America's driving workforce, which is 60% women.
Indeed, it seems, though, on the racial narrative, though, she stands in a pantheon that really begins with men and ends with Oprah Winfrey, who really creates an empowerment that's possible for African Americans, but also everyone, as you say. What do you make of the risk that she took being in the movie The Color Purple, which transformed her identity, I think, even for her fans? She was already very, very popular. And Steven Spielberg has even suggested that his experience directing that film made it possible for him to actually explore his own roots in Schindler's List.
Right. I think that film certainly further humanized her, and I think it gave a narrative face to Oprah's legacy, which was something akin to Aaliyah Walker. Do you remember her, the great Harlem Renaissance businesswoman who invented creams and hair care and so on for women of color? I think of Oprah in that tradition of the self-made entrepreneur, and I think that Spielberg's somewhat sentimental narrative did give her a more human and humane face, a narrative that people could understand.
We're speaking with Hilton Owls. Hilton is a staff writer at The New Yorker, and Oprah Winfrey's last show is today. Hilton, I want to play you this comment made by Stedman, Oprah's long-suffering boyfriend, during a surprise farewell show that aired yesterday.
"I cannot, honey, believe that a colored girl from the backwoods of Mississippi has done all you have done. But you know what really is amazing? you have done this through all of the sacrifices you have made and the humility that you have, and through God's amazing grace.
You know, Hilton, a lot of people, not just blacks, but minorities, point to Oprah as an inspiration because of that rags-to-riches story that he's talking about there. And yet, at the same time, her incredible success has also made her get criticized for not being everything that they expect her to be as an example of her race. Has that in some ways hindered her?
I don't think it's hindered her so much as it's allowed her to join hands with a number of very powerful women who have tried to make a difference but are always criticized for their personal choices. Women that she, in fact, showcases on her show time and again, much maligned and much adored women like Jane Fonda, for instance, who are political figures but also human in their foibles and humane in their reaching out to people through their imperfections. So I think that the molding of the Oprah figure or Oprah's characterization of the Winfrey-ness of it all has been very smart in that she's always allowed for her narrative of fracture, her narrative of the incomplete family, and in fact, not even being very much liked by her family.
Well, Hilton, before we go, what kind of hole will Oprah's departure from daytime to TV leave in the nation, and does it need to be filled by someone else?
Enormous, and I think that she is irreplaceable.
So you're going to miss her?
Tremendously.
Has she peaked?
She's part of the fabric of our lives.
Has she peaked? Her influence peaked?
No, I think that this woman, through industriousness and imagination, will go on and on and on.
So there's no next Oprah waiting in the wings?
One can only hope, but there's only one Oprah.
Hilton Alice, a staff writer at The New Yorker, talking about Oprah Winfrey's last show, which airs today.